12, and we are going to read a little bit some important passages. So it's about 24 verses, and there are several characters mentioned in this chapter. Herod is mentioned. James is mentioned. Peter. Mary, the mother of John. And then we also read about Paul and Barnabas at the last verse in the chapter. In order for us to get a good perspective of this particular chapter, we need to first read a couple of verses in chapter 11 that in verse 27, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the land, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. It's sort of a famine. People needed help, just like North Carolina is suffering today. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So here was Barnabas and Saul, who now were getting active in the ministry. Turn now to the last verse of chapter 12. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And then in chapter 13, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. And it goes on to a ministry which starts from Antioch. So in between the last few verses of chapter 11 and the end of chapter 12, we have a little parenthesis. And Luke, who wrote the Acts of the Apostle, takes us aside, and in that parenthesis, in the ministry to Judea and the ministry going out to Antioch, led by Paul and Barnabas, he tells us something about what happened. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him, that's Peter, in prison, and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after, actually in the authorized version, the Passover. It's translated in some of your Bibles as Easter, but it's the anniversary of our Lord's death. So, during that time, Peter was kept in prison. And something was happening while he was in prison. And it says in verse 5, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And then when we read on, we see Herod brought with him that same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. And we know that the angel of the Lord came upon him, gave him some light, told him to get ready, and then told him, rise up quickly. And then we read on, bind on thy sandals, follow me. And he went out and followed. And the gate was opened, leading into the city. And when Peter was come to himself in verse 11, he knows for sure that this was the Lord's work, that the Lord had sent an angel. And then he goes and finds the house of Mary in verse 12. And then we see him enter, and that Rhoda tries to hear his voice, runs inside, tells people, Peter is here. They think, oh, it's the Spirit. And they open the door. Peter comes in, and they all rejoice. And then in verse 17, we read that the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now there was a small stir among the soldiers. And then we read about Herod, that he went to Tyre and Sidon in verse 20. And there the people built him up, built his ego, arrayed him in royal apparel in verse 21, made an oration unto him, shouting, it is the voice of God and not a man. They lifted up Herod. And immediately in verse 23, the angel of the Lord smote him because he did not give glory to God. And Herod died. So that is what chapter 12 is. So I said to myself after reading it a couple of times, what is there in this chapter for me? What is there in this chapter for us to learn? And I came across four P's. Four things for us to remember. And it starts with the letter P. The first is persecution. We read about Herod, and this is not something which is surprising. We know that in first time we read about Herod in Matthew chapter 2 was one of the Herods. And that Herod was anxious to destroy the young child Jesus when the wise men came to him. He was Herod the Great. His ego was so big that he didn't want anyone else to have authority except him. Then we read again in Matthew chapter 14 of another Herod, Herod Antipas. And he executed John the Baptist. Now we come to chapter 12 and we read about this Herod who slew James. And he was prepared to kill Peter and he bound him. All three Herods were murderers. They represented the devil. And we see it all culminate in the book of Revelations when we see the two beasts. And we see that the devil is behind the Antichrist. Now there was another Herod too in chapter 25 of Acts that was Agrippa. Herod Agrippa. Now he was a little lukewarm. He wasn't a murderer. And he listened to Paul and thought it something he should ponder over. But all the other Herods were all enemies. And today, things are intense for us too. Just as they were intense in the early church. That they were being persecuted. And it was getting intense. This was a time of the Lord's anniversary of his death. And persecution was getting intense. And even today, you will see that there is persecution throughout this world. I visit India quite often, and every assembly I go to, they are praying for people who are being persecuted for either preaching the gospel or sharing the gospel with somebody in a village. People being taken by fanatics and put in prison because they spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. The persecution is basically why? It is because we proselytize. Why do we proselytize? Because that's the love of God, isn't it? To tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And people hate Christians because of that very fact that we want others to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. They hate it. And they come out and persecute. And we should be watchful. Canada is already getting persecution. You cannot say things in the assemblies or from the pulpit of the churches of a lot of things. It's penetrating our society, in our schools and on our colleges. The very basic things we agree on, which is in the scripture, are now getting legalized so that we then would have to accept things which is an abomination in the scripture. The society is bringing to us and making it legal. North Carolina went into this whole thing about people of different genders using the bathrooms. And things like that which are now imposed upon God-fearing people. That kind of persecution is subtle. It is there. And it will get more and more intense. What's the next P? The next P is the protection of angels. And we see this here. We see how Peter was taken out of this prison. And he was taken out into Jerusalem. And, you know, yeah, there are angels. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, if you look at it, says, ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Have you ever talked to some of the missionaries who have gone into the depths of Africa? Sometimes they have some wonderful stories of the providence of God, of how they were delivered. They were delivered by the hand of God, by some unseen elements which happen as angels do minister. In Acts, we see quite a bit about the angels. In Acts chapter 1, verse 10, we see two men stand by in white apparel when the Lord is taken up. And he says, ye men of Galilee, what you see now of your Lord Jesus Christ who is going up will one day come back in the same way. Acts chapter 5, verse 19. The high priest put Peter and them in prison. The doors opened. And Peter got out. You go to Acts chapter 12. Let's look at Acts chapter 12, what we just have. Verse 7 and verse 11. Where the angel comes and gets Peter released. And look at that beauty of what the angel did. I mean, Peter was awake and he was like, you know, accosted by the angel. It says, rise up, Peter. Rise up quickly. On the side, he says, he smote Peter on the side with a nudge. Come on, Peter, get up. But all the other soldiers were asleep. And it was only Peter and the angel. And not only that, there was light. He says, gird yourself. Bind your sandals. Get ready. In chapter 10, we see Cornelius gets instructions from angel. When we go to chapter 27 of Acts, we see Paul going on his way to Italy. And there he's on a boat. And there the angel comes and protects them and saves them from the storm. So you see the protection of angels even today. It was here in chapter 12 with Peter that he was delivered from harm. And then he goes out into Jerusalem looking for the place where the disciples were meeting in the home of the house of Mary. Now there comes the third P, prayer meeting. There's only one weapon we have, and that is prayer. How often do we participate in prayer meetings? You know, in there, some places where when there's a crisis, they have an all-night prayer meeting. And in this prayer meeting, remember, in earlier on in verse 5, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. That's in verse 5. And then in verse 12, and when Peter had considered the fact that he was protected by the angel and he was saved from harm, he looks for the house of Mary and where many were gathered together praying for him. I remember somewhere up north, a brother had told me that an assembly had an all-night prayer meeting. And it was to help a family resolve a problem. The husband was wayward, a wonderful wife with two beautiful children were left alone. The elders, instead of trying to have a separation or get into the whole bit of divorce, they said, let us have an all-night prayer meeting. And that's exactly what they did. They got together, elders and many of the brethren and sisters, and they came into this small little chapel. The children were home and the wife was there sitting in the front along with her relatives and the elders, and prayer started. Probably after dinner time, carrying all through the night. 3 o'clock, there was a little sound at the back and somebody slipped in and sat at the back row. And suddenly, that person got up and prayed. And that was the husband. Seeking forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeking forgiveness from the elders. Seeking forgiveness from his wife. He was in tears. People recognized his voice. They knew it was the husband. And the prayers were answered. A wayward husband comes home and gets together with his family. That's what the church has. That's the only weapon we have. Prayer was made without ceasing. You know, the early church was born in the atmosphere of prayer. Remember when the Lord was taken up in the first chapter? They all, after the Lord was taken up, they all went to a room and they prayed. Mary and all the other disciples. Born in the atmosphere of prayer. The church was strengthened in the atmosphere of prayer. And the church will grow, spiritually grow, not physical numbers, but physically grow within ourselves, spiritually, in the atmosphere of prayer. Persecution, protection from angels, prayer. Now the fourth thing we see here is pointed out to us in verse 17. And the Lord had brought Peter out of prison. And it says here in the latter half of verse 17, and he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he, Peter, departed and went into another place. The fourth P I could think of is the plan of God. God had a different plan for Peter. He saved Peter, but allowed James to be killed. And now we see that Peter departs, and we don't hear about Peter again. You flip through Acts after this, it's all about Paul. It's all about Barnabas. It's all about Timothy. It's all about Titus. All throughout, we see after this that we don't hear of Peter. Yeah, he had a written ministry. And wherever he departed to, God had a plan for him. And we see that written in 1 Peter, 2 and 3 Peter, that he had a ministry. There was a transition taking place. It's no longer about Peter, James, and John. Now, those three people were three disciples the Lord used mightily. We see them in the Gospels. He took them to the Mount of Transfiguration. He took them in that garden when he prayed. But now, in the plan of God, we see another door opening. And that is a door which is the ministry of Paul. And this door which is open starts in chapter 10, in verse 18. We see in chapter 10, verse 18, about Cornelius. That Cornelius had made an inquiry at Simon's house and stood before the gate. He stood before the door. Cornelius was trying to knock on the door of Peter. Peter, now you have to go to the Gentiles. A new door was being opened for Peter to go beyond the Jews to whom he's to minister, but to go out unto the Gentiles. And that door was opened. A new door was opened. And then we see that in chapter 11, how Peter comes into Jerusalem and how his whole mind is kind of expanded. I mean, in the heart of God, he wanted to go to the whole world. He told his disciples, go to Jerusalem, go to Judea, and go to the uttermost parts of the world. On the cross, when our Lord says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was looking at the Romans, he was looking at the Jews, he was looking at the Greeks out there in Jerusalem who sought after him. He was looking at the whole world. And when Peter departs to go into his written ministry and maybe go to some other place, Paul is now going to lead the charge to go to the Gentile world. The gospel goes out to Macedonia. Gospel goes out to Turkey. Goes out to Europe, England. And all what happens with Paul's ministry, you can now look back and say, how did the gospel get to India? How did it get to China? It's there. You know, my Methodist relatives always tell me, you follow Paul. Because the New Testament practice we have of assembly gathering has a basis in Paul's teaching. And there's a lot of things we have learned about the rapture, and a lot of New Testament principles have been put into place by the Spirit of God speaking to Paul. And all the epistles. See how many epistles Paul has written. God had a plan. He had a plan to use Paul. Now, we ask ourselves, why did James die and Peter live? you know, our ways are not God's ways. And we would never know all these things until we get to heaven. You know, I was in India and I met this young man in 2016, about 2 years ago. His name was Abin. He just passed away a month ago. He was 33 years old. And a brother in one of the assemblies in Bombay, who's about 73, he says, you know, brother, I just wonder why he kept you and me alive. And he took this young man of 33 years. Why? And he couldn't understand. And then later on, I could not attend the funeral, but I heard all those stories about this young man. At the age of 13, he used to take tracks and stand at the railroad station in India. And if you ever go to a railroad station in India, you won't have a place to stand. It's so crowded. As a young man, he used to distribute tracts to the people at the age of 13. He had a young child, about 3 years old. And his wife said that since the time they got married, every night at 10 o'clock, when they had finished all the chores of the house, he would sit down on the floor with his legs crossed, and he would have this pile of tracts, and he'd start making packages. And he put all these little packages in envelopes. And he had these stamps where you stamp the address. He had the stamp sitting on the shelf of maybe 25 different evangelists in the villages of India. Their addresses. And he would take that stamp, stamp the big envelope, and make these packages. And the next morning, before he went to work, he would go to the post office and mail it out. And one brother said that what this boy did from the age of 13 to 33 years, what he did in those 20 years is more than you and I do in our whole lifetime for the Lord. No wonder the Lord saw it fit to take his beautiful flower and take it home. Because he had done his work. He had finished what he set out to do. It's a challenge for us. And when he met me in 2016, I had a box full of King of Glory tapes, and I took them from Paul Bramson in Greenville, and I would give it to these people in the assemblies. And when I met him, I said, hey, why don't you look at this DVD. It's beautiful. And the next visit, I was there. He called me up and he says, you know what? I want that thing translated into two or three languages in India. I want it to be dubbed. I want to do this. And I said, wait. You're doing too much. He says, no, we can do it. He says, I have a group and we'll find a dubbing studio and we will contact. I said, would you help me? I said, sure, I will contact Paul Bramson and we will get you the WAV files. If you people in computers know, you get the WAV files and you send the WAV files over and these people start dubbing those WAV files to take the English out and then put in another language. Exact timing to the exact position of that DVD. And they did that in 1 year. It was the leadership of this man and his desire to make sure that gospel goes out to the whole world. So I challenge you this morning from reading this chapter because it has challenged me. It's a simple chapter. It's a parenthesis in between Paul's ministry. But there are some wonderful truths that, yes, we are going to be persecuted. Yes, we are going to be delivered. We are protected. Somebody told me once, he says, when somebody knocks at your door, you know, it could be an angel. Be nice. But God protects his people. And then let us not put aside the emphasis of prayer. It is very, very important. And we should be glad that in our assembly here on Wednesday, we sometimes have 15 people. I mean, that's more or less our assembly. We have 80% attendance on Wednesdays. And that's a wonderful thing. Prayer is wonderful. We tag on the Bible study. But it's really a prayer meeting. It is. That's when we come to the throne of grace. And I remember, you know, Glenn and Ruth, they were older people. And in spite of their health, I mean, they never missed a Wednesday meeting. Never missed it. And I'll tell you, if somebody ever tells you, what is the pulse of an assembly? Go to a Wednesday meeting. You'll know by the people there and their fervent prayer, you will know the health of that assembly. And we thank for the people who have gone to heaven, who set us an example that prayer is important. And then we come to the plan of God. You know, God does things which you and I would not think of it. But he has something in his masterful plan. And that sometimes we feel hurt and disappointed, but God knows. When he wipes our tears, he even knows that he did it for a purpose. And we will know it when we are in heaven. Shall we close? Our God and our Father, we thank thee for this time when we could study the Acts of the Apostles. And Lord, a very simple chapter with a wonderful meaning to it, that we see it in our daily lives even today. The persecution, how you deliver us and protect us, and how we need to be in prayer, and how we leave the plan of God to you, that in everything you do, there is a purpose, and we will know it when we get to heaven. We thank thee for all what you do for us. May we be disciples for thee and bring the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. We ask all of this in the loving and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.